Hey there, welcome to the Friday edition of Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. It's August the 14th. We're going to talk about a few different things on the program today. And one of the things that I want to address came out of some comments I made on the show yesterday about asking the saints to intercede for us. I think I don't want to say too much, but there are a few things I really do need to say about this topic. So I hope you can stick around for the entire program. I hope you're having a great day. I'm doing pretty well. My arm seems to be, the swelling in the arm seems to be down a little bit, so that's good. The rash, I'm not so sure about. I think this poison ivy is just running wild. I'm not sure what the heck is going on, but the good news is the swelling and the redness in what appears to be the infected part of the arm seems better, so that's good. I thank you for all of your prayers. I'm recording this program a little bit earlier than I normally do because I am going to be, now, by the time you hear this, you will probably have missed it, but I was asked to be on Al Cresta's show, Cresta in the Afternoon, to talk a little bit about anxiety during this COVID-19 pandemic. So that's going to be coming up today. Jerry Usher, a friend of mine, is the guest host, so they asked me to come on and talk a little bit about it. Maybe you're hearing this in time. Maybe you did get to hear me, but either way, I'm always excited for these opportunities to speak about how Jesus can help us with our anxiety. So a lot of different things I do want to discuss today, but the main thing I want to do is welcome you to the program, and I want to take a sip of my water. My throat's getting a little dry. I hope you're comfortable. I hope you got a snack and a beverage and you are ready to get started. So why don't we do that? Let's turn to our Father in heaven. Let's just take a minute and collect our thoughts and remind ourselves that we are in the presence of Almighty God, as well as Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know, that can be very challenging sometimes because we get blindsided by the trials and tribulation of life and an endless stream of news and on our phone and on the internet and on TV and the radio, and we lose sight of God's presence. He is always with us no matter where we are. And if you have any doubts, Psalm 139 is a good one to remind yourself about the constant presence of God and just how intimately he knows us. So our Father is here. He's waiting to hear from us. He is the creator of the universe. He is almighty and all-powerful God. And yet, whenever we want to speak to him, he's there for us. How amazing is that, right? So let's do that. Let's turn to our Father in heaven right now. You and me, we are related. Through Jesus, we have the same Father. So let's turn to him now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble children today, recognizing that you are our Abba Father, our Abba Father. You love us unconditionally. You are all-powerful. We praise you for your mighty deeds. Father, you created the entire universe out of nothing. You sustain the universe. You sustain us. We're alive right now, and the only reason that's happening is because you are allowing it to happen. Father, we ask you to bless us this day, to help us with our struggles, our individual problems. You already know what they are. Grant us what we need spiritually, materially, and help us become more aware of your presence in our lives and also how much you love us. And we know that through the working of your Holy Spirit, both of these facts can become more obvious. So we ask you, Father, to send a special outpouring of your Spirit this day. Fill us up from head to toe so that we may be aware of your presence and of your love for us. Father, I ask you to give me the words. I ask you to open all of our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to the message you have for us today. And Father, I ask these things in the most powerful and sacred and holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. I really do appreciate it. Just a word. Just a reminder. You might be a new listener to the show. You might not be, but you still might need to hear this anyway. For more information about my work, to find out about all of my books, to find out how to sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you can just go to followingthetruth.com, which is my website. I was talking to my publisher for my next book, Ave Maria Press, today, and they are having some what they call galley copies of the book. These are advanced copies of a book that gets sent to radio and TV stations and periodicals for publicity purposes so that they can see what the book's all about. So I was told that some of them are going to be going out next Monday of my upcoming book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. So I'm going to get a couple of those in my hands too, so I'm excited about that. The actual book will be out supposedly on October the 2nd. I suspect it will be sometime late September. That always seems to be the case with these books. They always seem to come out a little bit earlier than expected. So I'm really looking forward to it. This book is about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if you're struggling in your life to find peace, if you're struggling to love as Jesus commands us to love, if you're struggling with self-control, if you're struggling with patience, these are all fruits of the Holy Spirit. The key is for us to let the Holy Spirit work in us and help us, because otherwise we are trying to drive a car without the power steering engaged. That's what it really comes down to. And it's difficult. If Christianity seems burdensome to you, if it seems difficult, if it seems like something you just cannot excel at, it's because you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And this is a normal, very common problem, and one that I can be extremely guilty of at times. You know, we with all sincerity, we try to live a good Christian life. We try to follow the commands of Jesus, and yet we find it difficult. We're just going to do it through willpower alone. And then what we do, we end up falling on our face. We'll just fall flat because we are not depending on the Holy Spirit. Even with the Holy Spirit, some effort on our part is required. But this is exactly why Jesus sent the Spirit. He knew that we wouldn't be able to do this on our own. He knew that we would need help. So he gave us his very own Spirit to help us and to produce all of those fruits that were evident in his life. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit as detailed by St. Paul. And you know, that's it. I mean, if we are showing those fruits in our lives, we are looking like Jesus to people. And that's the goal. We are called as Christians to become like Christ. And the only way that's going to happen is by letting the Holy Spirit work in us and transforming us into that image. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You hear me say that a lot. You know, I'm a work in progress. I have no doubt about that. But the Holy Spirit can make a huge difference in your life. So that prayer, come Holy Spirit, or Holy Spirit, please guide my thoughts, my words, my deeds this day. Please control my emotions. That's a really good prayer. You know, and every day we should ask for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. I always do it at the start of this program because I know that the Lord has a message for us today. And I say us because he's speaking to me through my words too. And that's why I always ask the Holy Spirit, because I don't want this show to be about me. I want it to be about the Holy Spirit. So come Holy Spirit. Remember that prayer. Pray it often. And I will keep you posted about the book. You're going to be hearing a lot more about it. And then, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but next year there will be another book on the heels of that one. So that's going to be in the spring of next year. And then there's going to be another book after that. I mean, I signed contracts for multiple books. You're going to hear a lot more books coming from yours truly. So I hope that's good news for you. Anyway, so let me talk about something yesterday. Yesterday on the program, I mentioned that as Catholics, we sometimes get accused of praying to saints, treating them like they're divine, the Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, and the other saints, etc. And I emphasized that as Catholics, we do not believe, when we say we're praying to a saint, we do not believe that they have any divine abilities. They are not divine. They are human. Even the Blessed Mother who is venerated, respected, or honored as in the highest position of a human possible. So the veneration of the Blessed Mother exceeds the other saints as well, because she's the mother of Jesus. I mean, you know, it only makes sense. However, she is not divine at all. She cannot grant any favors to you on her own. She just can bring them to Jesus. As we see that evidence at the wedding at Cana. Mary interceded on behalf of the bride and groom. You know, and there is some biblical evidence for the intercession of the Blessed Mother. What did she do? She solved the problem of the wine running out by going to Jesus and letting him create wine from water miraculously. So there's an example right there of Mary going to Jesus on behalf of someone else. That's what intercession's all about. It's biblical. You know, I did write a book about the Blessed Mother. I don't talk about it that much. It was the second book I wrote. It's called Listen to Your Blessed Mother. And in it, I look at all of Mary's words and actions as recorded in the Bible. It's a strictly biblical book. So you might want to check it out if you want to see a biblical tribute to the Blessed Mother. And that's as big as it gets. We see the intercession of Mary and her going to Jesus on our behalf in the wedding of Cana, second chapter of John's Gospel. Okay, so as Catholics, when we say we pray to saints, we do not mean that they are divine or we worship them. We do not worship them. And if we do, we're wrong. That's not what we're supposed to do as Catholics. That is incorrect, right? It's important because this argument keeps coming up again and again from non-Catholic Christians. And I think it's important to at least make sure, yeah, we have our differences. Things such as the real presence. We believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Protestants do not believe in the same thing that we do, not that we believe in. But let's at least get our facts straight when we recognize our differences. But we do not believe in praying to the Blessed Mother or to any saint as an act of worship or treating them as a divine being. And I made that point on the show yesterday, and I got an email saying that, and it was a really respectful email, and I have no problem with that. You know, I've gotten nasty emails, I've had nasty confrontations. I don't understand it sometimes. It gets me a little aggravated that this world is a mess right now. And Christians are definitely losing their voice. Why in the world would Christians attack one another? Why would Catholics attack Protestants? Why would Protestants attack Catholics? Why would different denominations in the Christian church attack one another? We got to work together. This is what Jesus wants. He wants us to be one. That's what he said. He wants his prayers that we will all be one. So I got an email, and again, this was not nasty. And that's really good, and I really do appreciate that, saying that nowhere in the Bible is it mentioned that we should pray to saints. Well, a couple of comments about that. Number one, I gave that example of the Blessed Mother interceding. Now, we don't know how she found out about the lack of wine, but she found out, and then she went to Jesus. She interceded on behalf of somebody else. Maybe it was mentioned to her. Maybe she saw it. We don't know that. So that's a biblical example of Mary bringing a problem to Jesus. She did not tell him how to fix it. She didn't try to take charge. She didn't fix it herself. She said, this is the problem. They have no wine. And Jesus took care of it. He took care of the problem on her, you know, by involving the servers who poured the water into the jugs and then it was turned into wine. So there's a biblical example of Mary turning to Jesus in behalf of someone else. Now, as far as no biblical evidence of in the saints' intercession, why we as Catholics pray to saints, I do not consider myself a Catholic apologist. A Catholic apologist is somebody who defends the faith. That's their job. I am an evangelist. I talk about Jesus, and every now and then I'll bring up some Catholic doctrine. But I love listening to evangelical Christian preachers. I love evangelical Christian music. I like many Protestant writers. We all can help one another. We all can help lead souls to Jesus Christ, and I pray every day in my prayers that we can work together. So I believe in this ecumenism, that we can work together as a church, because we all are one church. As believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, as Catholics, we believe that our Protestant brothers and sisters, they are what we call separated because they don't believe everything that we believe. And, you know, for 1,500 years, we all believed the same thing, and then Martin Luther changed that. And I think that gets downplayed, the fact that for 1,500 years, we were all Catholic. We all had the same beliefs. When it comes to the Bible, I love the Bible. Every word of the Bible is inspired by God. The Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We as Catholics 100% believe that. Now, there are additional books contained in the Catholic Bible, that seven books that were removed from the Bible. You know, a lot of times you hear it said, well, Catholics, you added to the Bible. That's not true. The historic facts do not back that up. I mean, this is something that can be traced. It's funny. I was watching a program the other night, great Bible series, music series on TBN. And I watch Christian programming all the time. I really do. I mean, certainly, evangelicals have helped me to love Jesus. They really have. I don't agree with everything they say, but I watch some really, really good programs. So this was a music show, contemporary Christian music from the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. It was hosted by Matthew West, a Christian singer. And he was talking about how the Bible came about. And he was mentioning certain Catholic Church councils where it was decided what books in the Bible were considered to be inspired. And I think this is a fact that that many people, Catholic and Protestant alike, don't recognize, that the Catholic Church is responsible for compiling the Bible. It just didn't drop out of the air. And again, you can go back and research this. And you'll also find that many non-Catholic Christian churches cite the various church fathers, St. Augustine and some of the other saints, recognizing, you know, St. Jerome and his contributions to translating the Bible into Latin, and some of the other early Christian, the early Catholic church fathers. And the church fathers are generally recognized as the Christian writers for the first, typically, 8 centuries of the church. You know, it used to be called the church. It was just one church until Martin Luther came along, and this really devastating rift occurred. The Bible was compiled by the Catholic Church. I mean, you just can't get around that. That's a fact. So when we hear comments such as, well, this is not in the Bible, the Bible grew out of the church. Everything we as Catholic Christians believe does not have to be contained in the Bible. The same thing with evangelicals, Protestants, people who love the Bible. They do certain traditions, such as altar calls and other things, that aren't specifically contained in the Bible. You know, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. So the Bible was compiled by the Catholic Church. Therefore, there are beliefs practiced in the early church. And again, you can look these up. Understanding the writings, reading the writings, I should say, of the church fathers, the leaders of the early church, the guys who wrote what happened in the early church, they are responsible for many, many Protestants converting to Catholicism, because people read about the early church and they realize, wow, this is what's happening in the Catholic Church. So when someone says this is not specifically in the Bible, and yes, it is in the Bible when you look at, for one example, the Blessed Mother interceding for somebody at Cana. It is in the Bible, but it doesn't have to be. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that everything we have to believe or we must believe as Christians must be contained in the Bible, because the obvious point is nowhere in the Bible are there listed the books of the Bible? Where in the Bible do you get a table of contents? The table of contents, the contents of the Bible, the individual books, were decided by the Catholic Church at various church councils. That's how the Bible was compiled. So the church, if you read a Bible, you are, in a sense, submitting to the authority of the church. So, you know, I don't want to get into these arguments because I believe we need to work together. Let's just work together. We're going to disagree on some things, but we agree on so many things. Let's just bring Jesus to the world. Let's pray for one another. And that's my second point. Yes, Jesus is the ultimate, the only intercessor between us and the Father. That's what the Bible says. He's the only way to the Father. Well, then why do we pray for one another? What non-Catholic Christian will not pray for a brother or sister in need? It just doesn't happen. We pray for one another. We are all given a limited share in the intercession of Jesus. And this whole idea of venerating, which is not worshiping, venerating the saints, goes back to the early church. This has been done for hundreds of years. This is nothing new. But again, I don't want to see this get between us, because I know I have non-Catholic listeners, and I am thrilled about that. There are Catholics who speak, and I might not agree with everything that they say. You know, I agree with every doctrinal thing. As long as the church teaches it, I'm for it. I absolutely, 100%. If the church teaches it, I believe it. But there are degrees and certain ways of emphasizing things and comments and opinions made by Catholic speakers and writers that I don't agree with. So there's an old adage, and this was a Christian writer somewhere said, when you read a book, a spiritual book, you chew the meat and you spit out the bones. And I believe that. You know, you don't have to agree with everything, but let's try to agree on some things. But I just wanted to talk about that, and I guess that this will take the whole show up, that business of interceding, the saints' intercession. And, you know, if you don't agree with it, if you're listening, you say, I still don't agree with it, that's okay. Let's try to find some other common ground. But I just want to make sure you understand the Catholic position and the fact that the Bible is a Catholic book. And you can look this up. This is not something I'm just making up. History supports this. That's not my area of specialty. There are people who are very, very good. The guys at Catholic Answers do a very good job, as do other people, explaining what we as Catholics believe and defending the Catholic faith and that faith. And that's why they are called apologists. That word apologist comes from the Greek, to defend or to explain. You know, they don't apologize for Catholic beliefs. They explain the faith. My goal, I'm an evangelist. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to help you to find peace, the peace that comes from following Jesus Christ. So if you're listening, you're not Catholic, I hope that explanation suffices. But look, I'm always open to a dialogue. But again, it's not my specialty. That's not my expertise. I want to talk and cite biblical proof for how Jesus wants to be a part of your life, how God has always watched over his people, how he loves us, how we are never alone. You know, I center all of my teaching around the Bible, all my books, completely biblical. And I do mention certain teachings of the Catholic Church, but I'm always citing the Bible, and that's why I think it's so important. So I just felt that I should mention that. And I hope, listen, I hope if you are an evangelical, if you're some sort of Protestant denomination as well, or whatever you are. If you're an atheist, I don't care. Just let's hang out together. Let's hang out together and just let's try to find some peace and harmony in this crazy world. There's so much fighting. And, you know, it goes on in the church, in the Catholic Church, outside the Catholic Church, inside the Catholic Church, fighting against people who are Protestant. We need to stop that, gang. We need to stop that. We need to start working together. Jesus wants us to be one. He wants us to be united. And I think we can do that without compromising our beliefs. So again, some of the nastiness I have heard when I mentioned certain Catholic principles. And this email that I got, not nasty at all. He was respectful, and that's cool. I like that. We need to treat each other with respect. I've heard Catholics attack Protestants in very nasty ways. I've heard Catholics attack Catholics that way, too. I mean, we got to stop this. This is just not good. This is not what Jesus wants. In fact, it really hurts him, so we don't want that. All right, so that's a little bit about the intercession of the saints. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. It's such an honor to be able to do this show with you, really. It is. It makes my day. And I'm looking at the clock on the wall now, and I'm going to have to get ready for that appearance on Cresta in the afternoon. If you missed the show, you could probably listen to the archive broadcast of it and let me know what you think, okay? Hey, listen, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. Please continue to pray for me and my family. My wife, Eileen, has an ear infection now, so she was at the doctor today. She's on an antibiotic. I'm on the antibiotic for my swollen arm, but my rash is just driving me crazy. It's keeping me up at night. I could really use the prayers. And pray for my work, too. I'd appreciate that. You know, I have some book projects that I have to get done and all these other shows. Don't forget to listen to my weekly show, The Gary Zimak Show. That's available now wherever podcasts are available. And I talk about the Mass readings from this Sunday. So if you want a little reflection on the Sunday Mass readings, check that out, The Gary Zimak Show. Know that I'm praying for you. Please keep me in your prayers too. And once again, I hate to say it, but the donations, if you're able to donate, I need it right now. It's a dry month, so I'd greatly appreciate it. Followingthetruth.com, just click on donate. You automatically get sent to PayPal, where you can make a secure donation, either a one-time donation, or you can become a monthly sponsor. You know, in case I haven't told you lately, you are awesome. I'm so grateful to have you in my life, and I hope we can continue to do this for a long time to come. I plan to be here on Monday, and I certainly hope you will be as well. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. Keep praying. Keep asking the Holy Spirit to help you. Don't try to do it on your own. Depend on the power. And that's I use that word specifically because that's the word that's used in the New Testament. The power of the Holy Spirit to let Jesus come alive in you. Again, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Talk to you next time on Following the Truth.